Hey kids, do you like wrestling? Well, we like wrestling too. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Myself and Chris Novembrino kind of doing a lazy river of wrestling criticism, going through the news and whatever happened in stateside television wrestling. And also, you know what? Sometimes we just like to watch old stuff and talk about that too. Love for you to give us a listen if you haven't already. We are Shake Them Ropes here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.
Hello, this is me speaking.
Hello, this is me speaking.
3 plus 3.
6.
Okay. I heard the pretty fast, so the is the cue.
I almost said 9. I was like, wait, that's multiplying.
Yeah, that's 3 times 3. I would have taken 9. Okay. Here we go. How do I do this again? Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am happy to be back once again, joined as always by my good friend and co-host, Kelly. Kelly, thanks for holding down the show last episode.
Hey, no problem. Happy to do it. Just wanted to quick say thank you to everyone that said nice things about the show and sent kind words about my mom. She's doing good. She's out of the hospital. She's been back home for a little over a week, and she's getting a little bit better every day. So thanks, everyone. Taylor, how was your tropical vacation?
It was good. It was not a tropical vacation. I went to officiate my sister's wedding.
Oh.
So that's what I was doing. I'm an official licensed minister. So if anyone out there wants, I can do any ceremony. I've been told I can do anything a priest can perform. I can do weddings. I can do baptisms, I think. I can do funerals. So if you ever need anything, hit me up.
If you need Taylor to give you last rites, he can do it.
That's exactly right. But it was good. I had a good time. It was not tropical. It was in the Midwest. So
that's the opposite.
The weather was nice. So that was good. But nowhere. I was not laying out at the beach or anything like that. But anyway, we're here to once again talk some Joshi Wrestling. Before we do, we got to get our plugs in. Follow us on Twitter at JBomb Audio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tame Mambo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app is Apple Podcasts, we would really love a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So let's get into it. We're going to be talking some Stardom. We'll have updates on the Marigold League going on. We'll be talking Seedling, Tokyo Joshi, and much more. So let's dive right into it with Stardom. Their recent show from just a few days ago, Namba Grand Fight from Edion Osaka Arena in front of 1,407 fans. Kelly, what were your thoughts on this show?
This show is an incredible argument for not watching entire wrestling shows. Like, you can just watch the things you want to watch and you'll be fine. You're like, hey, sure, the first half of this card doesn't look very good. Don't watch it, because you're probably right.
I would say it was a very average show. I'm not even sure it's an argument for picking things that you want to watch, because spoilers, I thought pretty much everything was aggressively fine.
I have 2 matches above 4 stars, and I kind of think it was a case of like, oh my god, someone's trying. Holy shit. Let me throw all these stars at him.
I know there was one match, looking at the cage match ratings, that I thought, oh, people are liking this much more than me. But it seemed like most of the other matches, people were fairly in line with my opinions. on everything. But let's get right into it. First, with the pre-show match. Now, Kelly, did you watch the pre-show match?
I did, but I forgot to write down any notes, and I have zero recollection of it.
Great. I thought it was fine. I like Zena. I think that she's very solid, has been very solid for a little while. There was the weird backflip pinning combination near the end, which I thought was interesting. I thought it didn't really work, but I was like, oh, that's sort of fun. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
I do not.
Okay. And then Zena stood up and just kicked Rion in the square in the face, which I also liked. Other than that, I thought it was fine. I thought there was a little bit of some slow work in it, which is fine for sort of younger wrestlers. But I was like, some of this is just sort of moving very slowly. But for a pre-show match, can't complain.
Yeah.
The first match proper on the show was another singles match, Saya Kamatani defeating Mina Shirakawa in 10 minutes and 58 seconds. You know, before the show, I was talking to Kelly that for the past few weeks, because I've been out and about, I feel very disconnected from the hive mind of Joshi fans. So I have no idea what people think about this Saya Kamatani character. It feels weirdly basic to me, not in the slang way, but in like the meaning of the word. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's cartoon bad guy.
It feels very much like Baby's First Heel.
Yeah.
Character.
And Saya's not very good at it, but she's sure is making faces.
My note was sort of not that interesting. That was
I thought this match fucking sucked. Like, especially, and like, here's the thing. It was a fine sleepy house show match. You put this in front of 200 farmers, they're going to be like, that was some good wrestling, but they're saying it in Japanese. Like, here's the thing, though. These two have a history. They've put on very good matches. For them to do a match of this level on a big show was the fucking pits. Like, I expect better from both of them. This was bad. And the fact that Saya needs to be so extra in her new heel gimmick that she put her feet on the top rope to cheat, making the referee have to actively look away or else he would have to stop counting, was terrible. She's bad at being a heel. This was a bad match. Like, I don't know what these two were thinking here.
I laughed at the idea of she brings the chair into the ring. The ref is like, you can't use that. Don't use that. She's like, don't worry, I'm only going to sit on it. And then uses it anyway, and it's like, God.
Well, I suppose there's no rules against sitting down.
There are no rules against sitting down, but you would think to say, if you want to sit down, just sit on the mat. I'm like, you can't bring a chair in the ring, so sit on the ground.
Things that, like, since you have last been around, things have gotten real bad with hate and them cheating in ways that force the referee to ignore the rules or look away from them on their own.
Yeah, I have coming up a lot of thoughts about all of this, because this was sort of the beginning. It's like, oh, the first match. Okay. You know, it's just Saya doing whatever this is she's doing.
Yeah.
But I felt much stronger later in the show. The next match was a tag team match. The Empress Nexus Venus duo of Hanako and Wakatsukiyama defeating Hina and Rana Yagami in 8 minutes and 3 seconds. I am not crazy about Waka, but I sort of like this lower mid-card group of wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're all very good, or at least very interesting. You know, I liked Hina's throws in this. You know, Yagami is very good. Hanako, I think, is solid. You know, Waka, I don't think she's bad. I just sort of think that she is, you know, I don't think in 6 months we're going to be like, she's at the top of the card, challenging for titles.
Waka Mania is running wild.
Like, this is the...
Yeah, this is her height.
This is like where she'll be. Which is fine, but I think for the other three, it's like, oh, they're good now, and I can't wait to see them get better.
Mm-hmm. Hanako got to show what she learned at MLW.
The world never stops.
Yep.
So yeah, other than that, another good match.
Yeah, what'd it was think? It was a fine preliminary match. Like, I have no complaints about it. It existed. It is something that if I was not watching this to review on here, I would have skipped it. But, you know, that's all right.
Then, before the next match, they did some schedule announcements. I don't know if announcements is the right word. Review of the schedule. Because I know some of these shows obviously have been known about for a while. They mentioned a Nagoya Golden Fight happening at the top of October, October 5th. Historic Crossover 2 happening November 17th. Stardom Dream Queendom happening December 29th. New Year Dream happening on the 3rd. And then Wrestle Kingdom Week, which would be Wrestle Kingdom 19 on the 4th, Wrestle Dynasty on the 5th, and New Year Dash on the 6th. Now, are they implying that Stardom is going to have matches on New Year Dash? Is
that seems that way, because I feel like that's not the first time I've seen them mention it on one of their Here's What's Coming Up videos. Or it's also hard to tell if they might just be like, yeah, this is everything going on Wrestle Kingdom Week.
Yeah, because obviously they will probably be on Wrestle Kingdom as they have been in the past, and you would think they would be on Wrestle Dynasty as sort of a reverse Forbidden Door.
Yeah.
Thing, but I was like, oh, New Year Dash. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's very hard to tell.
Yes, but that is the upcoming big show schedule for the next few months. But then we rolled right into the next match, the Cosmic Angels. Aya Sakura, Sarah Yano, Sayaka Karara, and Yuna Mizumori defeating Azusa Inaba and the Hate Trio of Natsuka Tora, Rina, and Ruaka in 11 minutes and 56 seconds. Kelly, I will let you go first.
This is one of those matches I watched and I'm like, damn, literally nothing stuck in my head. I think Rina took the pin. I can't remember who pinned her, but I'm assuming that's setting up a title match. Not great, but fine, I guess. I don't know. 2 stars-ish?
Yeah, I thought it was a fun little match. The announcers and the crowd seemed into it. But I wrote, I have as little use for hate as I did for late phase Oedo Tai.
It's Oedo Tai, but somehow worse.
It's like, ah, we have a new name now, so now we can be really annoying.
Yeah.
It's like, we haven't really changed anything about ourselves, except we call ourselves Hate now
And now we have Saya.
Yeah. Who
Look
is
at her. She's making faces.
Having singles matches. But another, you know, nice little match. I like the Cosmic Angels quartet, I'll call them. I thought they were fun. Really a bad Hate Trio here.
Yeah.
For my personal enjoyment. And I like Azusa, and I wish that she wasn't continuously stuck in these Hate multi-person matches, because I think she's quite good and I don't want her here. I want her somewhere else.
Yeah. I think she's going to be stuck with them.
I think you're right, but let me wish.
Because hate needs to be like the biggest unit they have. They're like, damn, Cosmic Angels is too big. We need to make something bigger.
We need half the roster is going to be on in hate. But anyway, the next match was a 6-person tag team match. Kohaku teaming with Mei, Sierra, and Starlight Kid defeating Koguma, Momo Koga, and Saya Iida in 8 minutes and 41 seconds. I like this match. I wrote in my notes, there's not really any extra juice to any of these matches, but like this one, I enjoyed enough. I liked seeing Kohaku here in this spot, and I sort of was like, yeah, sure. And there was no members of hate in the match.
Yeah. So. We have similar notes because mine says this show has absolutely no juice.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, this is a match, sure.
Yeah.
Fine.
Like, this is, it's content. That's it. It exists to put in front of someone. So it's like, all right, we have a set amount of time to fill. We're going to put something in there. No, it does not matter.
We have these people, just put them in some matches and they'll...
We want you to feel as though we did not give you enough for your money. So have these matches.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be good if like one of these matches had like something besides just, oh, here's the two collections of wrestlers that work out with what else is happening on the card. I don't know. Maybe that's too much to ask for. Immediately after that, what was it? It was more hate.
Oh boy.
And the hate trio of Konami, Momo Watanabe, and Tekla defeated the God's Eye trio of Lady C, Saki Kashima, and Tsuri in 12 minutes and 4 seconds. I mean, the best part of this match by far was the crowd getting behind Saki, which I really enjoyed, but I just am like, oh God, hate is so big now that it used to be like Oedo Tai. All of their bad stuff will happen in one match.
Yeah. Now we got,
and you'll
three.
Be, and you'll be annoyed and you'll sort of be like, oh, well, that's a match that we got to throw out. Now it's multiple. It's like every other match is like, what if we gave you a little bit more? And I'm like, I don't want any more. I want less.
Look over there, Mr. Referee.
Yeah. Oh, here comes 10 people who aren't in the match into the ring. What's the referee going to do? Absolutely nothing. Just look at them and be like, guys, come on. Get it together.
I watched this match on 1.5 speed and was still bored.
Oh, so your match was 1.5.
I sped it up because I was tired.
I was going to say 8 minutes. 8 minutes and something.
Yeah, I was just like, I don't want to watch this anymore. Can we make it stop until something that seems good happens?
Yeah. So, please, on these shows, less hate, please.
Yeah.
Less hate, and then we will have less hate.
I would love for less hate.
The world needs less hate.
Exactly.
I'll say it. I'll be so bold.
Yep.
As to say that. But anyway, then we got to, I guess, what you would consider the top half of the card, top portion of the card. Suzu Suzuki in a singles match defeating Tomoka Inaba in 13 minutes and 10 seconds. My big note was, felt like a well-worked match in front of a crowd that did not care, which was very strange because previously I'd been like, oh, this is a fun crowd. They're like into a lot of this stuff. And they seemed really dead for this and just not invested.
Yeah.
And I liked it. I thought near the end, they really kicked it into gear. They had the moment when Inaba no-sold the German suplex and then kicked Suzu in the head, which I was like, oh, this is fun. But then it was one of those things where it's like, you know, a pinfall happens and you hear the wrestlers on the outside, like desperately pounding the apron to be like, someone make noise, someone make any sound. So that sort of took me out. You know, I thought it was probably, I don't know. What'd you go on it, Kelly?
I threw 4.25 at it because I was just so excited to see a match someone cared about. I thought they both tried really hard, and I liked that. Just the match kept getting meaner and meaner as it went. Like, the head kicks were insane looking. And, like, I thought the closing sequence was great. So, yeah, I went 4.25. I had a real good time with this and was very thankful.
Well, I would have been lower than you just because I think the crowd really, it was, and I feel like this is weirdly now the thing with some of these matches where I'm like, oh, with a hot crowd, I probably would have been like, woo. But I was just sort of like, oh, no one really cares about
I didn't this. Really notice it because I was just hooting and hollering on the inside.
Or on the outside. Then you were like, wow, the crowd is really making noise. <That's>
me. I'm stomping on the floor.
But yeah. And then we went into the last tag team match of the evening, which was the Stars duo of Hanan and Mayu Iwatani defeating the Neo Genesis duo of Azumi and Miyu Amasaki in 14 minutes and 23 seconds. Kelly, what'd you think about this one?
I thought this was a good high energy tag. I really like the Hanan and Mayu team, and I would like to see them get a tag title run. But overall, good match. 3.5 for me.
Yeah, I thought it was another solid match. There wasn't too much to it, but I enjoyed it. I think that that's a good idea to have Hanan and Mayu do that tag stuff, as we talked about last time, in terms of Hanan sort of needing to do something. I think that would be a good way to do it. It would get Mayu doing something, but not having to be in the main focus of the company. So I think that's a, you know, a solid idea.
Yeah. And they have a tag team name together. I cannot remember what it is. I need to look this up because it was something kind of Eye Contact. That is their team name.
Well, Eye Contact is important.
Yeah. They defeated Azumi and Miyu, who are known as the O2 line.
All right. Well, after this match, there was a video from Toni Storm, still, sadly, in timeless mode.
I was not, I thought for sure that was done.
I was like, this is the perfect time.
Yeah.
Thank God they can get rid of it finally. Challenging Mayu Iwatani for the IWGP title on the October 5th Nagoya show. I actually weirdly thought, except for probably the last 30 seconds of it when she started talking about like diaphragms.
Yeah.
And then was doing all the catchphrases. I was sort of like, this feels like Toni Storm just wrote a promo that she then did in a little bit of a wacky voice. Like, it was a regular Toni Storm promo, just being, just, you know, in like, I am in the old timey. But the language was good. Like, I thought it was a good promo, and then she started saying, oh, diaphragms, and, you know, watch for the shoe, and I was like, well, I'm back out.
I'll see you at the Nickelodeon.
Yeah. This 1920s wrestler who also knows people from the 1980s and movies from the 1940s. Yes, but hopefully should be a good match.
Yeah, no, that should be a very good match.
Maybe Mayu will be the person to destroy the timeless character.
Hey, that'd be nice.
Maybe that's just my hope. I hope every match she has, that will be the end of the character. But
yeah, or maybe she goes to Stardom and then comes back to AEW as Mariah May.
Oh, maybe.
And they just run a reverse of the angle.
Maybe. Well, we'll see. Then we got to the real business, two title matches. The first, the Wonder of Stardom title, Natsupoi, the champion, successfully defending against Hazuki in 19 minutes and 8 seconds. Thought this was a good match. I wasn't crazy about it, but one thing I really did like was I thought that they brought a lot of energy at the in the first 5 minutes of the match.
Yes.
Which I thought was really good because so many of these title matches start out sort of like, okay, we're getting into it. But this, they were like going after each other. You know, they had that pin where Natsupoi kicked out at one, sort of as like a how dare you. So I was like, oh, this is great energy to start. I thought that was good. You know, I thought the entire match was solid but unspectacular. So I probably would have been like 3.5 stars. Kelly, I'm assuming one of these next two matches you went over 4 stars on. Was it this one?
It was not. This was, I was about the same, 3.5. Like, I liked it a lot for the first 3 quarters, but whatever reason, the last quarter lost me to where it kind of just felt like they were just exchanging control of the match without any real reason for it. Like, there was no, there weren't really counters happening. They weren't even really doing like fighting spirit. It was just like, all right, cool. You hit me with a suplex. All right, now I'm going to hit you with one. And it was, I don't know, just the pacing of it got weird to me. And it felt like they kind of stopped doing some of the in-between steps between stuff and raced to the finish. So I was disappointed by that. Prior to that, I probably would have gone 4.
Yeah, and it was, maybe it was also expectations because these are two wrestlers I really like, and then they started with this. I was like, oh, this is great, you know, energy from these two wrestlers who usually wrestle a lot of energy. And then it never really, it's sort of like they started with energy and then closer to the end they had less energy.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the way of like, oh, we've been hit with many moves, but it just felt like, oh, we sort of spent the first 5 minutes being like, oh, we're really going after each other. And then it was like, oh, never mind. We'll just do some moves here.
Yeah.
So fine, but
I fully expected Poi to be like, hey, we should be a tag team now. We beat each other up really hard, and now we're going to be a tag team because that's how all of my stories go.
Would you like that tag team, Kelly?
I mean, no. It probably, I mean, it'd be good matches, but then I don't want poor Kogumo to be like cast off.
Oh, that is true. Oh, I know Kelly loves the Natsupoi tag teams.
It's the same shit every time.
The main event of the show, Tom Nakano, the World of Stardom champion, successfully defending against Micah in 22 minutes and 32 seconds. This was the match where I fully realized, why is everyone sending people into the chairs on this show?
Yeah, in this one especially.
It happened like 8 times. I was, you know, thinking, folks, we got to talk in the back and talk over what we're doing because everyone was going into the freaking chairs.
Yeah.
If I imagine being there and it's like, oh, okay, another match. I got to stand up. I got to move my to make sure my stuff doesn't get crushed.
There was like one time in this one where I feel like they ended up short and Tom made Micah like run at least 10 feet before she threw herself into the chairs.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm a broken record here. I said like much of the show, this didn't really grab me. Like another match I thought was fairly good, but you know, for a main event, I sort of felt like, oh, okay. I don't know. I also never bought Micah winning, which, you know, did you? Like, did you?
I was very hopeful that Micah was winning here as a make good for when Tom lost her smile last year and didn't drop the title to her then.
It just seems like it would be a weird, it would be like weird booking pattern to have someone lose the title and then get it back.
Well, here's the thing.
In that way,
this booking sucks no matter what, because you have to think of it this way. Micah wins the 5-star. She goes in to face the champion who scored 0 points in that tournament. And then she loses to that person that scored 0 points. That sucks. Like, that, that just, I don't want to say it discredits the tournament, but it's just like, what the fuck are we doing?
Well, maybe you just hold back. You're like, yeah, don't care about the tournament. Now I'll really turn it on.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like I really enjoyed this match. I went 4.25, but I think the booking sucks ass. Like, this booking was terrible. I'm glad we didn't have to watch more than one Natsukatora match, but like, I don't, just the road to get here was not good.
There shouldn't be any but behind, I'm glad we only had to watch one Natsukatora match.
Yeah.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Because yeah. That butt sounded like you were going to say, but I wish we could have watched more. I wish it could have just been Natsukatora matches all the way down.
And it's like, they know she sucks. And they still put the title on her, but they're like, well, she sucks so bad we shouldn't put her in the tournament. But we still can make her the champion. Like, what are you doing? Just cut her. Just cut her and be done with it.
Kelly, like, I have bad news for you. They're
I know, but it's like, not putting her in that tournament is essentially just a vote of no confidence. It's like, look, we know she sucks. We know you don't want to see these matches. We're still going to put the title on her, but we're not going to put her in the tournament as a make good for that. Like, just simply don't put the title on her. Don't put her in the tournament. Don't put her on any shows. Send her to Dotonbori Pro or wherever the fuck.
Wow. Okay. And that's our review of Stardom Namba Grand Fight. I keep saying grand because I'm saying Namba.
Marigold.
what else has happened? Stardom had their 14th edition of New Blood on September 13th.
All right. I need to talk. I didn't see this show. The only thing I've seen from it was the YouTube thumbnail of the post-match of the match where Rana Yagami was in it. And she sure did get implicated in a blackface scandal.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Like, it. That one was bad. That bad. Like, you can't be putting that in your YouTube thumbnails. You just can't. Chris Charlton's gotta talk to someone at Stardom and be like, look, you can't be doing this. We're trying to do more international expansion. We can't be having blackface scandals.
Well, they are heels.
They are heels. I wouldn't. I mean, that is a very heelish thing to do.
Yes, but you did bring that up when that was posted. And you have mentioned it every time it's happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, we'll see. I'm sure it won't stop. I'm sure it's not stopping anytime.
Rana, you didn't do it. Don't make a notes app apology. You're fine.
Marigold has been working through their Dream Star Grand Prix. The current standings there in the Dream League: Chika Goto at the bottom with 0, Victoria Yuzuki with 1, Mirai, Natsumi Shozuki, and Nagisa Nosaki all tied at 3, Utami and Koke at 4, and Nori at the top with 6. In the Star League, it is Misa Matsui, Chiaki, and Kazuna Tanaka all down at 0. Miko Ayono, Mai Sakurai, Sari, and Nanai Takahashi all at 4. And Bozilla at the top of the standings with 6. Seedling had a show on September 10th. But also, Kelly, I know that you watched the retirement show as well. And you didn't talk about it last episode. So yes. You wanted to talk about it now.
Yes. So yeah, the Seedling Arisa Nakajima retirement show is one of the many things I wanted to get to and did not last episode. So I wanted to make some time for it now. The main event of that show was Hanako Nakamori and Hiro Matsumoto defeating best friends Arisa Nakajima and Tsukasa Fujimoto. This was just a really good last stand for Arisa. Like, you know how most... I feel like retirement matches usually fall into two categories of either, oh god, they need to stop. They're so old. This is bad. Please stop doing this. Or the wrestler is like, you're going to have to fucking kill me to put me in to get me to retire. This felt didn't really feel like either one of those. It was more like a celebration of Nakajima's career and the best friends tag team. Like, it was kind of just a nice match. Like, I don't know. I didn't feel like anyone was trying to kill the others. Like, they were just putting it a good sporting contest, and it was just fun to watch Nakajima and Fujimoto have one last ride. It did get pretty hard hitting at times. Like, Nakajima got a bloody nose at one point from getting kicked square in the face. But yeah, very good match and a very lovely ceremony after the match. I went 4.5 stars on this one. So if you've ever been a fan of Arisa Nakajima, I highly recommend checking this one out.
Oz had two shows in the last 2 weeks. One on September 8th, where Jaguar Yokota won the Pioneer title from Masked Hanahana, and Unagi Sayaka was also in that match. Tokyo Joshi had Always a Challenger on September 8th, Yuki Arai retaining the International Princess title against Arisa Endo. Kelly, did you see that?
I did not get around to this one. I forgot that.
Sendai Girls had a big show on September 13th. Mika Iwata winning back the Sendai Girls title from Sayori Ano, becoming only the second person in Sendai Girls history to win the title more than once. Of course, the other person, Chihiro Hashimoto, who has held the title 5 times. but no one else has done it. Kelly, I know you watched this match very recently.
Oh, this ruled. This was so good. They wrestled with such intensity. Like, there was a really cool stare down before the match started. And just, this is what people talk about when they say they want hate and heat in wrestling. Like, there is a bit in the match where Ciari is just sitting at Iwata's chest, slapping the shit out of her. It looks insane. Like, there was bits where I'm like, did she knock her out with that one? Like, it was wild. This was just an excellent win for Iwata. Like, this made her look great. I went 4.5 on this one too. Like, if you have not watched it yet, go back and check it out, because it is crazy intense.
What else has been happening? Diana had a show also on September 8th with 3 title matches. Kyoko Inoue retained the Elizabeth title against Leon and Megumi Yabushita. Ayako Sato and Hanako Nakamori retained the tag titles against Miran and Risa Serra, and Maika Ozaki retained the Diana title against Naname. Marvelous had a show on September 9th. Riko Kawahata defeated Maria and Mio Momono to become the #1 contender for the AAAW title. And Team 200 Kilograms successfully defending the AAAW tag titles against Jesse Jackson and Sandra Moon. Kelly, what has been going on in Choco Pro, which is now officially just Choco Pro?
Yes, they announced it at the end of the Kirk and Hall show for the future on August 31st. 2 big results on that one. Chie Koshikawa and Sayaka Obihiro defeating Saki and Mizuki to win the Asia Dream tag titles. And then in the main event, Mei Suruga defeating Emi Sakura to win the Super Asia title in a very good match. I went 4.25 on that one. Really fun show overall, and I think it's a good move to switch to Choco Pro because it clears up a lot of confusion for people.
I think that's very true.
Yeah, because it was they got their biggest popularity when they started using the Choco Pro name, and everyone's like, wait, they're not Gato Move? And it's like, no, they are. but they're also this.
They are, but they're also not.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And Kelly, what else has been going on? I know you've been watching many other things.
Yeah, I felt like I was going back to my college days when I would just fire up a bunch of matches on RuTube and just go nuts the whole day when I finished all my homework or whatever. But yeah, I was just watching main events of shows like crazy yesterday. The first of which here is the Unagi Sayaka Produce Show, which has an amazing name. The Lord is crazy. When I hear the word summer festival, my blood boils. From September 2nd. The main event of that one was Jun Kasai and Minoru Fujita defeating Unagi Sayaka and Minoru Suzuki. Really fun brawl to close out the show. And Suzuki was leaking bad in this match. Like, he didn't just do the little prick. Like, he was just pouring blood. It was kind of wild. Yeah, very fun match. I love how Unagi has Kuriken set up for her produce shows. It always looks so cool. And I am very excited to see what she does in Sumo Hall in April. Because that could be a wild show. Also on September 2nd was the Sariism Chapter 5. The main event of that one was Sari and Mayu Iwatani defeating Veni and Chihiro Hashimoto. This was fan-fucking-tastic. Just everything you could want out of a match with these four. An insane pace. Just worked at a crazy pace, just beating the hell out of each other constantly. I really like the continuation of this Hashimoto-Sari rivalry. Veni stood out here really well here. She just had a great performance. Sari nailed Veni with just one of the grossest headbutts I've ever heard. It was so loud. Absolute must-watch match. It is in my top 10 for the end of the year. I went 4 3/4. This is definitely a match of the year candidate for sure. So if you have not seen it yet, go out of your way for it. And then the final thing that fits under our other banner was the Netflix wrestling. Netflix ran a one-match produce show in Kuriken Hall. It was very cool to promote the Queen of Villains show coming up. It was a 4-on-4 match. Maria Miyamomono, Riko Kawahata, and Takumi Aroha defeated Chiako Nagashima, Dash Chisako, Drake Morimatsu, and Zap T. And they had some of the actresses from the show come out with them. Very fun match. And just the way that Netflix shot Kuriken was very cool. Like, it made the building look great. Like, I wish we could get more wrestling shot like this. It was very cool.
It's always very interesting because I haven't watched the match yet, but I did see some of the shots and some of the pre and post match stuff. And it is always very interesting when a company that's never, I mean, to my knowledge, Netflix has never shot a wrestling match in Kuriken Hall. But just to see the different ways that they shoot it, because I think everyone just sort of looks at what everyone else is doing and is like, that's the way we should shoot it. And yeah. I'm sure Netflix did not do that. So I think that's always interesting. And it did look really interesting, you know, with the intros, you know, shooting from the ring up to that. I don't know what you would call that. Vomitorium.
Is that like the back of the,
well, the entrances at the, in the back. What do you call
it? Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no. Cause that they shot it from an angle you just don't normally see. Like, a
yeah.
lot of times you forget, like there's times I just completely forget that I'm like, oh yeah, Kuriken goes way the hell back there.
Yeah. It's a long stretch of chairs there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but
honestly, I would love for Netflix Japan to just be like, you know what? We're going to run monthly Joshi shows and we're going to shoot them like this.
Well, sure. I don't know that they're interested in that.
I mean, who knows if this Queen of Villains show does really well for them. And like, it seems like this produce show got some buzz. Like, if I'm Unagi, I'm talking to whoever I can to be like, hey, I'm renting out Sumo Hall in April. you want to come shoot my show and, I don't know, put it on Netflix?
That would be fun.
Yeah.
I think, well, we know what they'll have soon, but I think the only other thing they've had in the past is they had Lucha Underground for a while, didn't they?
Yeah, they had it for a little bit.
And like, then, well after it aired, but
yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Queen of Villains, that goes up on the 19th, so just a few days away. I am very excited for it. Every trailer I've seen looks better than the last, so I'm very much looking forward to this.
Yeah, the trailers have looked really good, and I've sent some even to my friends being like, oh, you should watch this. I think it's going to be a good show.
Yeah.
So. Well, before we get into what's happening in the next 2 weeks, of course, we have to review the Joshi Fantasy League standings, now updated with an additional month of matches. But unfortunately, Kelly still in last place by 98 points. But closing
the gap.
You're closing in on getting your first 100-point wrestler.
Woo.
So, because Rina Yamashita currently at 94 points, Kelly at 348 points. I will also say Saki has done very well for you,
mm-hmm.
Considering she's about to pass Venny in points and you've had Venny all year.
Yeah. No, looking back, I sure wish I had drafted Saki right away.
So that is at 348. Liam currently at 446, highlighted, of course, as always, by Unagi Saika, up at 127 points, but still lagging behind yours truly, the first man to pass 500 points for the year, 517 points, of course, still highlighted by you, with 145 points, and Miyuki Takase at 134. Actually, and Sayaka Matani for me hit 100 points, so I have three wrestlers up at 100 points. Boy, if Ibuki Hoshi wouldn't have gotten pregnant, I think I would have run away with this.
Yeah.
So that is those updated standings. What is coming up in the next 2 weeks in Joshi? Stardom has a Korakuen Hall show on September 28th, and a New Blood, the 15th New Blood, is happening on September 29th. I don't believe anything has been announced for either of those shows yet. Seedling has a show on September 23rd, which will be main evented by Sari versus Unagi Sayaka for the Beyond the Sea title. But probably the biggest single show coming up in the next 2 weeks is the fifth edition of Wrestle Princess 5, happening on September 22nd. The card is as follows: Runa Okubo versus Haru Kazashiro, Yoshiko Hasegawa, Kaya Torabami, and Himiwari versus Kira Summer, Chika Nanase, and Uda Takami, Kakaru Sekiguchi and Mihiro Kiryu versus Wakano Uehara and Toga. The lovers explode as Ram Kaichou will take on Raku in a singles match. Aja Kong, Max the Impaler, and Palm Harajuku will face off against Rika Tatsumi, Yuki Aino, and Shino Suzuki.
I wonder who's taking the pin there.
With special referee Shiori Aoki, Zaya Zhao and will come to Tokyo Joshi and will team with Mizuki, Zaya, the former Zaya Lee in WWE, NXT. I don't know.
Yeah, she was in on the main roster.
On the main roster?
Yeah.
I don't know. They will take on Yuki Kamifuku and Venny.
Oh, hell yeah. We'll get a cool entrance from those two.
Emi Sakura will take on Shoko Nakajima in a singles match. And then there will be three title matches, of course. Yuki Arai will defend her title against Moka Miyamoto in Miyamoto's biggest spot ever.
We think in new gear?
I think we're always thinking new gear because we're hoping new gear. We'll see.
Big match mocha. Here we go.
The Princess tag team titles will be defended. Daisy Monkey will face off against 1-2-1 million. And then, of course, the Princess of Princess title, the winner of the Tokyo Princess Cup, Ryo Mizunami, will face off against the champion, Miyu Watanabe. Kelly, those top three matches, who's going to win? Who's going to lose?
I think we're going to have title retention all around. Because I really feel like they're pushing these four as like, this is the new generation. This is the new big four. So I think they're going to get definitive wins for each of them here.
I think Miyu wins because she lost the challenge match. That was 2 years ago, right?
Yeah.
So that's a good story of like, I've gotten better. I get my win back. Great. I'm very nervous about 1-2-1 million.
Yeah.
That's the one where I'm like, uh-oh.
That one does feel a lot like Triple H coming out with his shovel.
I just feel like they could be like, oh, we need someone. Put the titles back on them.
Yeah, I really hope they don't.
Put the titles on them. I hope they don't. But I don't know. I also think like, oh, all three people retain. I guess I'd have to look at the statistics. Does that happen that often in I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would have to look back and think because I don't have that off the top of my head. But
I feel like you close out the show with them, the four of them on the ramp, like holding their titles and stuff, like with the photo op. I think that's a good move.
I agree with you. I think I have PTSD.
Yes, that's fair.
From the past.
Yeah, no, that's so completely fair.
I'm like, what really fucking thing could happen? Because I'm, even if, you know, I think Miyu should win, but if Ryo Mizunami won, I'd be like, oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I would. Like, I don't want Miyu's run to end here, but I wouldn't be completely upset.
I still think there's a weird thing with Miyu and Maki where it's like, you feel like you're not really part of this promotion.
At this point, I'm kind of like, I don't have use for them anymore.
Like, obviously very good, and this match will be very good, but it's sort of like, what purpose are you serving? I guess to be here and maybe to lose.
Yeah. If I'm not getting that Yamashita versus Emi Sakura match, I have no use for them anymore.
Well, Emi Sakura seems to be having a lot of singles matches here, yeah. So or getting a lot of matches, so it's very possible.
Fuck off to Prestige and GCW or wherever.
But that is Wrestle Princess 5. Marigold, the GP, will continue with many shows. Will continue, and that will continue on September 16th. So will have happened by the time you hear this. The Dream League will have Utami versus Mirai, Natsumi Shozuki versus Nori, Chika Goto versus Victoria Yuzuki. The Star League will have Sari versus Miko Aono, Nanai Takahashi versus Bozilla, Mai Sakurai versus Kazuna Tanaka, and Misa Matsui versus Chiaki. Kelly, your anticipated match of this show?
I mean, it's probably, you can probably just go with any of the Sari matches. Like, Sari versus Aono sounds pretty good. I think
that will be very good.
I talked about this on the last show. Those first two night, or the first two shows of this Dream Star tournament or whatever the hell it's called, really put me off of watching anymore. Because it felt just low rent. And I'm like, damn, you don't even have Sari here for this. Like, it was just a single cam show, no commentary. Like, this is supposed to be your big thing. Maybe make it feel a little bigger than like, well, we're doing it because Stardom just did it. And, you know, if you're doing it because Stardom just did it, you're going to be compared to that. And your shit seems so much more low rent. So I don't know. Like, I watched those two shows and was very bored through them, and I have not watched any since. I might pop back. I'll definitely end up popping back in for some stuff, but like, I am not fired up about this tournament in any way.
All right. So I won't ask you what match you're most looking forward to.
I mean, here's the thing. It's all going to be the Sari match. Like, that's just how it is. The roster is not deep enough to run a tournament like this. It just is not.
That is true.
Like, they do not have the roster for this, and more than anything, this has exposed Marigold as just being stardom we have at home. I mean, we know that's what it was, but like, this tournament really shows that.
Well, with that said, let me run through the remaining shows of the GP. On the 20th, the Dream League will have Utami versus Natsumi Shozuki, Mirai versus Koke Amore, and Chika Goto versus Nagisa Nosaki. The Star League will have Sari versus Misa Matsui, Miko Aono versus Kazuna Tanaka, and Chiaki versus Nanai Takahashi. On the 21st, a shorter day, the Dream League will have Mirai versus Victoria Yuzuki, Koke Amore versus Nagisa Nosaki, and the Star League will have Sari versus Kazuna Tanaka and Mai Sakurai versus Chiaki. The 23rd, the penultimate day of the rounds, will have in the Dream League Utami versus Nori, Koke Amore versus Chika Goto, Mirai versus Natsumi Shozuki, Victoria Yuzuki versus Nagisa Nosaki, and the Star League will have Sari versus Nanai Takahashi, Mai Sakurai versus Miko Aono, Chiaki versus Bozilla, and Kazuna Tanaka versus Misa Matsui. And then the 28th, the last day of the rounds, will have Utami versus Koke Amore, Mirai versus Nagisa Nosaki, Natsumi Shozuki versus Chika Goto, Victoria Yuzuki versus Nori, Sari versus Bozilla, Miko Aono versus Nanai Takahashi, Mai Sakurai versus Misa Matsui, and Kazuna Tanaka versus Chiaki. And then they will go into the finals of that. Sendai Girls has a tag title match on September 27th. Team 200 Kilogram will defend against Mio Momono and Yurika Oka. Kelly, what is coming up in Choco Pro?
There is a show on September 23rd. It is called We Are Choco Pro. Really just driving that home now, which is smart. Mei Suruga, with her first Super Asia title defense, she'll be taking on Miyuki Takase. And so that should be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that.
And of course, as we mentioned, Queen of Villains coming out on Netflix on the 19th. That is everything coming up in the next 2 weeks. So I throw it over to Kelly's Corner.
So my corner this week, I want to highlight a email newsletter that I greatly enjoy. Charles's Wrestling Playlists newsletter. If you are not subscribed to this, I highly recommend getting a subscription on, Substack? Substack sounds right. Do you subscribe to this?
I do. I was just thinking, is it Substack?
I think it's Substack, but it's very good. He's going through all of recorded wrestling history. We're currently in 1984, and there's just a whole bunch of hidden gems that I've never seen from that era. So it's a very fun newsletter. I learned a lot about this era of wrestling that I did not know previously. The timelines of each month are particularly great. I'm pretty sure they've been getting like serialized on Voices of Wrestling.
Yeah, I think Voices of Wrestling has them a couple weeks after they're posted.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what the timing is, but yes, they are on there. I myself am back in 1952.
Okay. See, I started at the beginning of 1984. And so once I catch up in the current newsletters, then I'm going to go back to the beginning.
So I'm seeing a lot of Luthez.
Oh. Currently.
But yes, I concur with Kelly, a very, a great newsletter and covers, obviously covering all of wrestling in 1984. There is, a lot of talk about, Joshi.
Yeah. And it really goes to a discussion that's been popping up on wrestling Twitter as of late about revisiting the past of wrestling and how we need to appreciate the history. And I think something like this is perfect for that.
Well, very true, and really can't top that. So that's the end of this episode. So for Kelly, I am Taylor saying thank you for listening to Jump Bang Bomb Audio, and we will be back with you again in 2 weeks' time for more. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is, how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.